CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gene Marks. He is the small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper, the UK edition, the US edition, also for our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and other distinguished publications. We begin with a story that is critical to small business recovery in the pandemic, the restaurant industry. Gene, you have been very careful in explicating the restaurateurs and their struggles for the last year and a half. There has been rescue packages provided by the federal government. But right now, do you see the recovery accelerating, leveling off? Is it hesitating because of the Delta? Good evening to you, Gene.
Hi, John. Yeah, the recovery itself in the restaurant industry, like all these questions about COVID is, it depends. It depends on where the restaurant is and what markets that they are serving. You and I have talked, man, since early 2020 about, when COVID first broke out, about the open table analysis of restaurants. So Open Table is that very popular mobile application where you can make restaurant reservations. And what the people at Open Table have been doing, John, is they have been tracking restaurant reservations and comparing it to the same level in 2019. And we talked about how the numbers nationally had been rising. You know, first they were down in the dumps, then they were rising. Well, here we are now in September of 2021. And the good folks at Tableau, which is, they're actually, Tableau is an application that does reporting. It's a software, and what they did is they dug into that Open Table data and really gave us some interesting numbers. They're giving it you really on a day by day basis, and I just want to share some of that with you. Like some of the states that have been the strongest in recovery for restaurants compared to the same period in 2019. The strongest state in the country is Rhode Island. Has had the strongest recovery so far. They are, at a level of growth that has exceeded 2019. South Carolina also strong. Florida, just to give you an idea, Rhode Island is 56% ahead of where we were, the average compared to what it was in 2019. Florida is 36% ahead. These are ahead. So these states are doing quite well. Even down in New Jersey, which is the blue state with the restrictions, that's still 13% ahead the restaurateurs they were compared to 2019. Then the states that are doing the worst. The areas, my hometown of Philadelphia, we're still 21% behind where we were in 2019. Louisiana leads the country. Louisiana does at 67%, although I think some of that has to do with the weather that went through the state. But New York, D.C., the state of Washington, honestly, John, it's those states with the most restrictions, the most mask rules or vaccine mandates. They're the ones that are hitting the restaurant industry the hardest right now.
I testify that at visiting Manhattan, the Starbucks I depend upon now only accepts takeaway. You can't go in the store at all. So I understand these are evolving restrictions, but still that would hit the bottom line as you're evidencing.
No doubt. And come, stores like Starbucks, for example, they get quite a lot of trade of people that come in and sit and talk and meet and converse and, do things face to face. They've never been like just a takeout organization, which is what they've been forced to do. But it is amazing, John, the difference in going to a Starbucks in New York City versus going to a Starbucks in Phoenix, Arizona. If you're in Phoenix, you can go in there and drink your coffee and hang out. New York City, that's not the case, and that's showing up in the Open Table data. So anyway, to sum up and answer your question that I started answering about 15 minutes ago, where is the restaurant industry growing? It depends on where you're located.
And the liquor licenses, are they part of the difficulty of recovery?
I had a long talk with a client of mine who runs a restaurant and bar in Reading, Pennsylvania, John, outside of Philadelphia. And he was just bemoaning to me the legislation and regulations that he has to go through state and local and federal, in order to run his license, even just to buy and renew his liquor license. I mean, to buy a license in Alaska is like $300,000. In California, it's, again, a similar amount. In Pennsylvania, he had to pay $350,000 for his liquor license. That is a large amount of money for a restaurant. restaurant to afford, let alone the ongoing regulations and restrictions on those restaurants. And his point was validated by a piece that just came out this week in the National Review on the same topic. You know, he was complaining that it's these kind of regulations are, you know, really serving to put him out of business, and they favor the larger change, the bigger businesses that can afford these kinds of things, and they really hurt independent restaurants. So with all the recovery that we've seen in the restaurant industry, there is really a lot to be done to limit regulations for restaurants, particularly smaller independently owned restaurants, John, because a lot of these regulations, these costs are really, really having a big impact on them.
The recovery needs workers. And again, we have one statistic that evidences that. It's the ship report that Gene provides. This is Long Beach. 154 total ships, LA, Long Beach, are waiting to be unloaded, many of them container ships, and there's a shortage of staff for the K truckers, and yeah, just in general across the country, because the supply chain continues of people that have to unload the docks that are loaded when the trucks arrive. So there is no improvement week to week that I see, Gene.
No, and I have to tell you, it is not getting any better. If you are looking to really see where prices are going to go, one of the great metrics to follow actually is the Marine Exchange Twitter account. That is the Port of Los Angeles Twitter account. It's MX SoCal, S-O-S-O-C-A-L. And they're the ones that reported the numbers, John, that you just said. You know, I just, I interviewed for a piece I'm writing, on a guy named Christopher Mim, who has a new book out called Arrival, and it's all about the supply chain, John. You would find it fascinating. He is the technology journalist for the Wall Street Journal. He took 6 months out to track, you know, what happens when you order a charger for your cell phone and how it gets from Vietnam into your home, you know? And he writes about the port in LA and how automated it is and efficient and productive. When he was there and doing his reporting years before all this mess happened, now he's saying with all the technology they have and all the productivity of, the port is just a mess. They're struggling. There are ships, you know, as far as the eye can see. It's a problem that's going to take months to resolve. Months.
In playing defense, I went to Apple and bought extras of everything. I cannot assume there won't be shortages coming up. And you know, Gene, we must be on the air, so I need duplicates like any other thoughtful and extremely cautious small business. Now, work from home. You have a piece that points to the work from home story, which is popular, and you and I are products of it. But
yes,
what does this tell us about the larger story of work from home? Because in other cities, London, for example, they're going back to the office.
Yes. You know what, John? In Philadelphia, they're going back to the office, and Omaha, and Little Rock, Arkansas, and you know, my son, I'll have to get him invited. He works for a large engineering firm in New York City. They're based in Omaha. This firm, it's an international firm, and it's everybody's going back to the office, but the people in New York are the ones that are complaining the loudest. I mean, it's a thing depending on where you're located. So I wrote this piece to the Washington Times. I just want to be clear: the media likes to talk about work from home, and everybody's going to work from home, and that's where the trend is going. And of course, the media wants to say that because most of us in the media are working from home. We don't want to go back to the office. Then there's the large companies of the world, the Microsofts, the PwCs, the KPMGs. They're concerned about liabilities. You know, they don't want their employees coming into the offices. God forbid somebody gets the sniffles, and then they're going to get sued because of it, or they're going to get bad PR because of it. So there's this narrative that like everybody's going to be working from home. And here's what I'm seeing in real life, John, okay? Every day I drive to clients in the Philadelphia area, every day, all in the suburbs, parking lots at industrial parks, office centers, corporate centers, full or mostly full. I'm stuck in traffic, John, every day. I've had my air conditioning system repaired recently. I go to stores and restaurants. My neighbors have their lawn mowed and their roofs are being fixed and we're ordering products online. John, you know, I play squash. I go and I'm playing at my local club playing squash. So who's doing all this? Well, these are all small businesses. Even my squash club is a small, you know, it's a small club. all the employees are coming to work at all of these small businesses. Most of the small businesses, a majority of them, are run by people over the age of 55. There's still an older school mentality, and I can tell you from my own clients, John, those people that are running businesses, the minute that they can get back to work, they're getting back to work. Many of them were essential businesses and telling their employees, you're coming into the office. Now, it's smart to have a work from home policy. It's smart to allow people to go home for a day a week or 2 days a week. But I'm telling you, we're hearing the stories of the big companies that are terrified of sending their employees into work. But small businesses around this country, they're going to work. Their employees are coming into work. That's what I'm seeing, and that's what I'm reporting on around the country. So don't believe the entire narrative, like the whole world's going to be working from home. That's just not the case.
Employers are looking for workers, and a couple of stories that all fit together for me, Gene. One is that as the benefits end, jobs are still begging for workers. At the same time, Amazon and other firms are ready to move to another version of who's the best employee. They're either suspending or thinking about suspending some aspects of their drug testing. Is this widespread, Gene, or is this the desperation of Amazon?
Well, no, it's not just Amazon, although Amazon has some pretty large hiring targets. But most companies themselves are reevaluating the whole concept of drug testing. I mean, listen, you know, cannabis is now, you know, legal, free, recreational in more than half the states in this country. And that is where the trend is going. And drug testing has been a problem. Listen, you know, it's very simple with drug testing for starters. It's up to you as a company, as the owner of a company, whether or not you want to require drug testing. I have a client that's a logistics company, a freight transport company, and they transport dangerous chemicals. Like, dude, you can have a drop of alcohol in your system, let alone any drugs, if you're going to be driving for their company, because that's just what their rules are. But Amazon, I mean, I don't know if you're working, you know, in even if you're in a warehouse, you're working in the office, do they really care if you smoked weed a few days ago and there's still some remnants in your system? I don't think they do anymore, and a lot of companies don't care, and they're limiting, you know, they're getting rid of some of those rules because they realize it's not as big a deal and they need those workers. You know, you talk about the benefits wearing out. You know, they ran out after Labor Day, so people are waiting for the jobs to start being filled again, and they will. But let's just not forget that households have a record number of savings right now. There are still a lot of other stimulus out there, child care help, health care help. You know, rent abatement in some local areas is still in effect. There's still a lot of reasons for people to not go to work, let alone people's concerns for COVID. So I don't think the jobs are going to come back immediately. I think it's going to take a while. And even when they do come back, they can't get to the same, you know, even before COVID, we were still complaining about the lack of workers. So this problem is never going to go away.
Yeah, we had a huge shortage in February of 2020. We made note of it at the time. The market was peaking and we couldn't. I think we were 10 million workers down then. We are 10 million workers now. And we started talking about robots, and then the pandemic showed up. And we really started talking about robots. Gene Marks is a small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, and our Philadelphia Inquirer hometown newspaper, returning next to small business and the virus in the recovery. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.